The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, and see my hands? Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for rising again from the dead, for showing us that death is not the end. Thank you for these 50 days of Easter that we get to continue to celebrate this special time. We ask that you would open our hearts and minds today as we look into your word together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So I kept seeing songs that came to me this week as I prepared for the sermon. And there's a song from Nicole Lordman, who's a contemporary Christian singer, and I believe songwriter. It tells about her own struggles with doubt and her relationship to God. My name of the song is "I Want to Know You." It goes, "It's well past midnight, and I'm awake with questions that won't wait for daylight. Separating fact from my imaginary fiction on this shelf of my conviction. I need to find a place where you and I come face to face." Thomas needed proof that you had really risen undefeated when he placed his fingers where the nails once broke your skin. Did his faith finally begin? I'd lie if I denied the common ground I've shared with him. And I really want to know you. I want to make each day a different way that I can show you how. I really want to love you. Be patient with my doubt. I'm just trying to figure out your will. And I really want to know you still. Okay, back to our gospel for today. The disciples are scared. It's Easter afternoon, the very first Easter. And on that afternoon, as Pastor told us, Jesus appeared to the 10 disciples. But Thomas was not there. Where was he? The text doesn't say. I do know he was not huddled up in fear with the door locked. So he's got that going for him. But Thomas misses this opportunity to see Jesus. So when the disciples tell him they've seen Jesus, Thomas is skeptical. Kind of like when somebody comes back from a retreat and they're up here on the mountain and you're not up here. There have been two Jesus sightings since the crucifixion. First Mary in the morning and now the 10. But Thomas was not in on that. He did not see the Lord, and he was not going to believe it unless he saw for himself. Poor Thomas has gotten a bum rap all these years, hasn't he? He told the truth. He said, "I don't believe." Good for Thomas. And what happened? Did Jesus toss Thomas out on his ear and tell him he was a lousy disciple for not believing his disciple mates? No. Jesus offered Thomas the exact proof he had asked for when Jesus was not even there. Thomas said, "Unless I see the marks on his hands and put my hand into his side where the spear pierced him, I will not believe." I guess we shouldn't be surprised, but Jesus knew what Thomas had asked to see. And when he came again in their midst, he offered Thomas those very things Thomas said he needed to believe. And Thomas did believe. "My Lord and my God," he says. But what does that mean for us? Can we ask Jesus to come here and show us the marks in his hands, in his feet, and in his side? Will he come and show us? I don't think so. Although I would never say something is impossible for God. There are actually 15 places in Scripture which says nothing is impossible with God. But I believe we're to read the testimony of people who were willing to die for Jesus regarding the events of that time, asking God to bring us into that time and place so that we can, through the power of the Holy Spirit, experience it as if we were there, just like you do with communion. We are there. But when we have doubts about our faith, we can come to Jesus in prayer. We can present our requests. God is waiting for us to come to him with our concerns, our needs, our hopes, and our dreams. Scripture says, "Let your requests be made known to God, and the God who is rich in mercy and grace will forgive all your sins." Wait a minute. You weren't asking for that. You're asking for something else, like maybe healing. Do you notice when someone seeks healing, Jesus frequently begins the whole process by forgiving their sins? What is that about? It's like forgiveness of sins is more important than healing, because it is. Thanks be to God. When we first entered the sanctuary today, before we even began worship, we knelt before God and admitted our wrongdoing right here. And Pastor Eric, by the authority given him by Jesus Christ through the church, pronounced our forgiveness. So we have that part of what Jesus offered, and it's huge. But what about our own doubts? What do we do with them as followers of Jesus? Because we are forgiven children of God, we are able to enter into Christ's presence and ask God for what we need. I don't know about you, but I haven't always done this. I spent a lot of years wondering how my husband and I would ever afford to send our two boys to college. I'm not a big fan of student loans, and I didn't want to go into huge debt to send them to college. In fact, I used to teach them. We lived in Florida. You can go anywhere as long as it has Florida in the name. Florida State, University of Florida, West Florida, South Florida, so on. So I knew the kids should go, but I didn't ask God for any help with those concerns. But still, like Thomas, whose request was only made to his friends, God was hearing my concerns. So God made school possible for both our boys without our going into debt. One got a full scholarship and the other received a partial scholarship. This is kind of a part of it. So God provided. God was listening, and I wish I had the trust and the faith to place this burden into God's capable hands. Remember that sermon we heard last summer about the five loaves and the two fish? In God's hands, those few fish and paltry loaves fed well over 10,000 people with 12 basketfuls left over. God is able. God can provide. God wants us to bring our concerns to him. God can ease our minds of the burdens we carry. Certainly we can leave our burdens at the foot of the cross. If we can do that, our load will be easier to bear. When we were in the military, my husband and I had a lot of chances to move to a new place, and I'm not a very good mover, not a fan. We have to pull up roots, move to a new place, you have to cut off all your services, they send you a bill, then after you pay that, they send you another bill. It's just a mess. AT&T still thinks I have one of their phones. It's just, I'm not a good mover. So, it's exhausting. And then the moving truck comes, finally. You put all your stuff on the truck, and if you're going overseas, they put it in a box, and they nail it shut. So, after that truck pulled away, I felt this wonderful sense of peace. It was out of my control. I did not have to do anything else with all that stuff. I couldn't believe all the stuff we had. Oh, my goodness. The longer you're in the military, the more stuff they let you move. So if the sea container was going to like a new island or something like that, I've heard stories about how some of the crates sometimes in rough seas, they fall off. And the sea container with your stuff in it falls in the ocean and is lost forever. Sometimes I wish that would happen. I could have that peace for a longer time. So my point is that when I gave up control over my stuff, I felt at peace. When we have something that concerns us, a burden that we're carrying, we can pack that burden up in prayer like a big box, nail it shut, and give it to the transcendent moving company of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God will take it. God will take that worry out of our hands. Once I asked Cindy Day to do something for me, and she said she would do it. She said, "You can put that in your box of forgetting. I will take care of it. You don't need to worry about it any longer." That was nice. So if a person can do that for another person, just think what God can do. God can bring each one of us the peace that passes understanding that will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So today, as you come forward to Holy Communion, I would encourage each one of you to have an imaginary bag full of your worries and your concerns. Just pack them in that bag, zip it up, and then lay it at the foot of the cross and give that burden to Jesus. He will take that for you. You don't need to. So this week when you go away, there's three things I'd like you to remember. God's always with us and knows what we need already. God is waiting for us to ask for forgiveness so that we can begin the real discussion about our needs. And three, God wants to give us more than we could ever ask or imagine. There's another hymn that's helpful and says these things. It's called, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Amen.